All right, so if you didn't hear me, we are going to start off in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, if you want to open up your Bibles there and join me. Before we read that piece of scripture, I just kind of wanted to ask you guys to take note of what the Apostle Paul is describing there for the person that has the mindset for who is really just idolizing money. There's this bad stigma, I feel like, sometimes when it comes to money. You know, we as humans, we tend to go too far to one end of the spectrum. We have what's called the prosperity gospel, where preachers are just saying, hey, you know, tithe, be a good person, serve, you know, and then God's going to bless you financially. And while God does reward us for being good and sharing with the poor and giving back what he deserves, you know, sometimes that can be blown out of context. And then we have the poverty gospel, where people are afraid of money, really. They think that money itself is evil, and so they're always feeling like they don't deserve money, that in order to be spiritual, they shouldn't have money. And then there's things all over in between. So today I kind of want to just, if there's any point you're going to take home, I want you to take home that money is not evil in itself, right? And for that matter, the majority of things really aren't evil in themselves. It's really a heart issue with us, right? It's the person who is in control of whatever it is, you know, whether it's intimacy between a man and woman, right? Whether it's going to be money in this case, it's us. The problem is in us, right? So we're going to talk about seven different types of money that there are. And in reality, it's not really seven different types of money. It's seven different ways to look at money. So let's go ahead and pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches false doctrines and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Right? So that's, money is a tool. It's the love of money, right, that causes all kinds of evil. You know, I just think of, you know, how big human trafficking is right now, right? It's just, people think that money is so important that they put it above a person, right? From there, I want to talk about the first point, which is worthless money. You can write that down. Money truly is worthless if it's not submitted to God. Proverbs 11:4 says, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, right? As Christians, we believe there is a day when Jesus Christ will return and all things will be set right. We will all be held accountable, right? Whether we're believers or not believers. But praise God, as believers, we have Jesus Christ, right? So we do not have to be held accountable to the point of death. We will be in eternity with him. So without God, money really is useless, because we know that we're moving to a place that's eternal, where we don't need to worry about these things. Proverbs 10:2 says, ill-gotten treasures are of no value. 11:28 says, whoever trusts in his riches will fall. And this is Wayne's outline, so I'm reading from the Message Bible. So if you're in your Bible and you happen to look at these Proverbs and you're wondering why it's a little worded a little different, it's because it's from the Message Bible. on and on, you know, it goes through these verses in Proverbs, and it's really saying that money in itself is useless, right? It's when we use money to further God's kingdom, when we use it to bless others who are in need, right? When it's submitted to the will of God, that the money becomes useful. That brings me to the next point, which is making money, right? Right now, I'm in this place in my life where I'm thinking about my two daughters, right? One of them's still coming into this world. The other one is here, and I'm thinking about college. I'm thinking about where we're going to live, you know, if we're going to have a place big enough for them. And I was talking to my dad last night, and I was telling him, you know, I never worried about money. It's like it wasn't a big issue to me, right? Until I realized that I needed to provide for more than myself. Then it started becoming an issue. Then I was like, oh, wow. I've always felt like, because of experiences that I've been through and because of God, that I could get through anything, right? And I still do believe that. But God was really preparing me for this sermon, because I've been in a Bible study the past couple of weeks with Scott and a number of other guys, and we were actually talking about financial stewardship. And I'll never forget Scott. He just said it in the greatest way. He said, God gave us a brain, and he expects us to use it. Right? So if we're going to make money, we have to use our minds, right? We have to use the gifts and the talents, right? And the intellect that God has given us to make money. But at the same time, we have to find this balance between overworking, right? And just working for this world and trying to find all this material blessing, right? And then focusing on the spiritual world, right? Jesus said that if you seek the kingdom of God first, that these things will be added to you, right? So, sorry, lost my point there. So, you know, when we're making money, we have to really strive to make sure that we're not only using our intellect, but we're also praying, right? That we're submitting it to God so that our work doesn't become vain, right? Proverbs 16:3 says, put God in charge of your work, then what you've planned will take place. And I just want to expand off that even when you put your plan into work and it doesn't take place, God is still in control. And so that's the blessing in submitting your finances to God, is that you don't have to worry about whether your plan fails, whether that budget that you had, you know, set out doesn't quite make it. You go a little over, right? Or something happens and you need the savings gets wiped out, right? God is always there. He prepared your mind to have that backup so that you could use it. And when it's all gone, he's still there and he's going to provide. I have just seen this church in itself step up so many times where people were struggling and they have given just out of the sincerity of their heart, and even sometimes anonymously. And that is just so beautiful to see, you know. God will always provide. The third point is honest money. So we're to use our intellects, we're to work hard, right? We're to pray and submit it to God so that it doesn't become worthless money. But there's also honest money, right? As we seek to gain financial blessing, we should not follow the dictate of the world, right? I think of big business corporations that put everything into LLCs, and then suddenly, you know, once they've made their billions, it goes bankrupt. Right? I think of people who, as they're doing their taxes, they're just like, well, you know, the government doesn't really need all this money. I'll just say I made this much, right? But the Bible is clear. Jesus said, give to God what is his, and give to Caesar, or the government, what belongs to Caesar, right? We are to pay taxes faithfully, right? And not waver on those things. We are to believe that God is going to always provide for us, even when it looks hard and taxes are crazy, right? I'm self-employed. I pay quite a bit. And I will tell you, I've sometimes sat there going, why do I report everything honestly? But the reason why I do it is because cheating money is no good. Proverbs 11:1 says, God hates cheating in the marketplace. He hates it. right? It's not something he takes lightly when we're robbing others of the money they deserve. I saw, it was a very blunt post that one of my friends posted, but it did have a little bit of significance in it. And that sometimes we have to remember that as humans, we don't always see the perspective that God sees. We're not just robbing the government if we don't pay taxes, right? We're also robbing the families that are being paid, right? And I don't want to get into anything political and talk about specific, whether it's, you know, helping programs that give money to help families, or whether it's someone who's employed by the government. I'm just saying that we have to stop looking at, when we give money, that it's we're giving money to an entity. If I'm going to Chipotle and I'm buying a burrito and I get mad because the burrito is expensive, at least that person behind the counter has a job, right? So honest money is important. Don't think that when you're cheating somebody, or you're cheating an entity, right, a business or the government, that you're just robbing that entity. You're really robbing people. And it's not our place to judge whether or not we should be taking or giving away. That is God's position, right? So my next point is going to be number four, and it's saving money. Proverbs 13:11 says, "He who gathers money little by little makes it grow." I wish I had been Christian when I was a kid, because I would have really taken this to heart. God is just now teaching my wife and I about financial blessings, and we're really starting to take this to heart. And I can't tell you how much of a blessing it's been to be able to help family members or someone else without stress, right? In the past, we would really hurt when we had to help out friends or family, but we did it. But now God has just alleviated this stress, because we have a place where we can say, you know what? We can give out of the savings, right? We can give out of whatever. But God tells us to prepare so that we can pass it down to other people. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." That's some good saving, right? Even your grandchildren are going to be blessed. And you know, I also want to point out that there's also another great inheritance that you can leave for your children, and that's a spiritual one, right? Teaching your kids about financial stewardship and that they need to save by modeling it is important. But teaching them also that, hey, I'm leaving this inheritance for you and your children, right? But more importantly than this inheritance, I want to leave you a legacy that follows Jesus Christ, right? I want to leave you a legacy that is going to teach you to make this money worth something, right? Not so that you can live your lives easy off of what I worked for, but that you will work hard yourself, and that you will take this inheritance that I've given you, and that you'll use it to bless others. So saving money, that one right there, I think is extremely important to put in the context of submitting it to God's will and using it for the kingdom. Definitely, you're using it for good when you bless your children with it, college funds, you know, retirement, so that you can do things. God wants that. But at the same time, it's keeping it in the context of that the money in itself should never solely be for a material blessing later in life. We're not guaranteed that later in life. Right? We never are. So you move down to point number five, and it's going to be borrowing money. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The borrower is servant to the lender." I learned this the hard way, that by putting myself in debt, I was really becoming a slave to the person that was lending me the money. Especially when you're borrowing money that you're in need of, right? That you feel like, oh gosh, there's no way out of this situation. I need to borrow that money, right? You are literally making yourself a slave to the lender. Proverbs 13:23 says, "Banks foreclose on farms of the poor. The poor lose their shirts to crooked lawyers," right? this church is just amazing in the fact that they have given so much to each other. And I think for me, I'm speaking personally, and it may not be for everybody. Back when I borrowed out of necessity, I can admit now humbly before you guys that it was out of pride, right? I didn't want to go to my friends or my family and ask them for help. So when I was in need, I borrowed and I became a slave to the lender. But God humbled me, and eventually I had to go to my father and my mother, and Noelle had to go to her mother and father, and that was hard because then it was like, man, you know, I'm the son-in-law. I'm supposed to take care of my wife, and here I am, you know, going to all the parents. But praise God, right? He used that, and it actually drew our family closer together, closer to God, right? When they saw the humility that was in Noelle and I, right? When they saw that we wanted to continue being faithful to God in tithing, that we wanted to change our ways, but that we needed the help, right? And the way they stepped up, and the way I've seen you guys step up, it is commendable. So I would say that for those of you who are maybe right now thinking about borrowing money, right? Maybe you're in over your head with things. There are a lot of programs out there. There are people out there who want to help. We're a church family and we're to help one another. So do not be afraid to ask for help before going out to borrow money. Because like it says here, the borrower is servant to the lender. And we're supposed to only be servants of God. We should only be focusing on God when it comes to our finances and everything else in life. Point number 6 is sharing money. Proverbs 22:9 says, "A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." 21:13 says, "If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he will too cry out and not be answered." Right? And 28:27 says, "Be generous to the poor, you'll never go hungry. Shut your eyes to their needs and shut your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses." It is clear that God does not intend us to be financially blessed so that we can hoard it for ourselves, right? And even when it comes to our salvation too, we're not to hoard that for ourselves either, right? Every day, everything that we do, right? Every aspect of our life, including money. Money is the topic today, but all that should be submitted to God for the use of His kingdom. And that's something that the Lord has just been teaching me daily and a lot lately. I've just been realizing that the way I speak, Wayne was preaching on that last week, right? The way I look, I recall a Bible study and it was talking about a yes face. My face a lot of the times doesn't look like it's saying yes to people. It looks angry. Like even right now, I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, am I smiling? Because I might be scaring everybody with this sermon, right? So, you know, but everything we do, right, should be in love. It should be emulating our Father in heaven. And when it comes to money, it's no exception. We're to be sharing it with others, and we're to be blessing those who need to be blessed through financial means. And the last point is number 7, and it's giving money. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. And so that one ties in with the sharing money. But I think the difference between sharing and giving money is that there's been times where someone felt the need to pay me back. I didn't want them to pay me back, but they felt the need to pay me back. And I didn't want to rob them of whatever they were wrestling with. So I accepted, but I made it very clear to them that it wasn't necessary. And it didn't, like, in that what they were doing, it was okay, right? And so in sharing money, I think it's okay to lend to someone, but not expect it back. But if they want to give it back, to accept it. But really, in everything that you're doing, you should be able to freely give that money away. Because what I've come to learn is that the more I've given financially to to anything, whether it's the church, whether it's people, right, or a nonprofit organization, right? Whenever I've given money, it has freed me from idolizing money, right? It's when you're clinging to that money and you don't want to let it go, that's when it becomes, it's not a tool anymore. That's when it becomes an idol, right? When you're working so much, you can't be home with your family, right? Because you're clinging to that financial gain. That's when it's no longer a tool, but it's an idol, right? It's getting in the way of you and your family, and it's getting between your worship with God. But the solution God has given us is to give money freely to everyone, right? Now, in closing, what I would like to share with you guys, if you want to open up to 1 Chronicles, and it's chapter 29, and we are in verse 10. And here, King David is dedicating the temple to God, and he's praying to God, and it's a time of worship. And I want what he says to really sink in, because it's not really, even this verse, it's not just about financial blessing. Like I said, this can be even thought of as our salvation. It can be thought of the talents we give, right? We have, whether it's musical talents or athletic talents, right? Or the smarts to run technical equipment, right? Everything we have has been given to us by God. And so David's prayer was, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God our Father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise to your glorious name." And then David says, "But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as we are all, as all our forefathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." Right? Imagine, and I'm guilty of this as well, imagine if everything in our lives, we thought of it that way, as dedicating it back to God, right? With our money, right? With our jobs, with our talents, right? Imagine if we just acknowledged, right, that everything we are belongs to God. I think it would help us to stop pointing fingers at other people, to stop expecting leadership to be holier than the congregation, right? To expect us to have other people change the community when we're not participating in the community, right? So, as we close in prayer, my prayer for myself, and I hope a prayer for you guys too, is that whenever we get angry, whenever we feel like something's not right in this world, that we stop looking outwardly and then we start looking inwardly, right? And most importantly, that we're looking at God's example in the Gospels through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was there to create miracles to draw people in the church into fellowship with him, right? But it wasn't just about the miracles. Then he would teach them through parables, right? He didn't make himself presentable or pleasant, right? He would tell people, right? He said, "The Son of Man," he said, "birds and nests of the field have a home, but the Son of Man has nowhere to go." right? Jesus told people to count the cost of following him. Well, the cost of following him means everything, even our finances, belong to him, and it should be submitted to him and used for his kingdom. Will you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for just blessing us with everything we have, Father, from the air we breathe, Lord, to the life inside our bodies, and to the material blessings that we share, Lord. God, even if we don't think we have a lot, Father, you give us shelter and you give us food daily, and we praise you for that. So, Lord, we pray right now that your spirit will go out with us, Lord, that you will help us to be more like you, Lord. You help us to love like you, Lord. And we just pray that you bless us all the days of our lives and that we glorify you. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.